Hey, Michael.
Hey, Joe, how's it going, brother?
I am well. It's been one of those days, a lot going on, but I'm glad we got some time here.
Yeah. Well, I definitely can't imagine, man, and I do appreciate you taking the time out, bro, to, you know, to help me out with this interview, man.
Yep, let's do this thing.
Awesome. All right. Cool, let me just make sure this is hit the record, and is it closing? Mine later. Perfect, we're recording. Okay, great. All right, awesome. So I'm going to start it now. Well, what's up, ladies and gentlemen? This is Michael Over Delivered Baptiste, a.k.a. the Hot Ticket King. I'm coming to you, man. I wanted to make sure that I always bring you some value. Today, you know, I got somebody that's one of my role models. You know, he's one of my mentors. I've learned from him. And I actually had the pleasure of meeting him a couple of weeks ago at JV Zoo's Market and Mayhem Live event. And, you know, and this guy is somebody, man, who's truly inspirational. He's somebody who's led the industry and somebody who's really dominated the world of online marketing for several years. And it's really, truly a pleasure for me to bring to you and introduce Mr. Joel Comm. Joel, how are you, brother?
I'm feeling great, man. Thanks for having me.
Oh, no, I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it. And so right now, as we're on the call, where are you actually located in the world right now, man?
I'm in Denver.
Okay. All right, cool. I know you've had a lot of speaking events, and you've done a lot of keynotes lately, and I know you got a hectic schedule going on, man.
It has been busy, but I find myself here at home for a little bit and before my travels start up again.
Oh, man, good for you, brother. Good for you. Well, what I want to do, Joe, is I want to ask you a couple questions, you know, for our audience so that way they can get a better idea of who you are and, you know, answer some questions that I've actually gotten from a lot of my students and clients. So first thing first, bro, if you can, man, can you just tell us a little bit about your story, your background, and, you know, where you've come from up until this point now?
I've been an entrepreneur my whole life and been doing business on the Internet since 1995. So my first site is actually getting ready to turn 21 years old.
Boy,
they grow up fast. And in that time, I've done a lot of different things. Everything from building and selling sites to having one of my sites acquired by Yahoo. I was the first guy to really crack the code on how to make money with Google AdSense, and I wrote a series of ebooks and taught thousands of people around the world how they can make money with their websites. That turned into a traditionally published book called The AdSense Code, which hit the New York Times bestseller list, and I've written now 12 physical books, including the top-selling book on Twitter, Twitter Power, Twitter Power 2 and Twitter Power 3.0. I've hosted and produced TV shows for the web. I've created iPhone applications, one which hit number one in the world for a number of weeks. And right now I'm really excited about the live video revolution and all the changes that are taking place there.
Wow.
That's
incredible
story,
man.
And I'm sticking to it.
That's incredible, man. You know, funny, your first website is almost as old as I am, but we won't get into that right now. So tell us, bro, like if you can, you know, looking at what you've done now, you're overly successful, you know, world-renowned, you've done TED Talks, you've spoken literally all over the world. Looking back now at all the success you've had, like if you can go back, what would be some of the things that you would actually change or would do differently?
Well, you know, I always hesitate to say I'm going to change anything, because the moment I do that, I realize that the things that have happened to me, both the good and bad, help make me who I am today. And you know, without the trials and the difficulties, then I might not, something could have changed, right? And so I'm always hesitant to say, rather I would look at it and say, what have I learned along the way? And what will I do going forward that will be different? I don't want to mess with the past, you know? It's just, I'm going to let it be what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's what a lot of people...
That's probably not the typical answer either, is it? That's not the standard textbook answer, because everybody's like, oh, well, I would never have hired this person, and I wouldn't have, you know, I would have focused on this aspect of the business instead. And it's just, it doesn't, I don't know that it helps me to do that, and I don't know that it helps anybody else either, because everybody got to go make their own mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I agree. I mean, I think a part of the process of being an entrepreneur is you have to go through failure, or better yet, you have to go through mistakes in order to learn what not to do the second time.
That's right. Now, if you don't learn from it the first time and you do it again, now you got an issue. Now you got a problem, because you don't want to be repeating the same mistakes. There's all kinds of new ones out there to make.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So what would you say were some of the biggest mistakes that you've made that you've actually taken the biggest lessons from?
bad hires. You know, hiring people because I really wanted to have, there's things I didn't want to do and I really wanted to not do them. So I hired probably the wrong people to be in several key positions that actually, you know, initially it felt like stuff was getting done right, but turned out that, you know, those were actually mistakes. I think also not having a little more focus, you know, getting in on projects that I might not have been truly passionate about, but I was chasing the dollar, and those rarely work out well, because if you don't have passion behind what you're doing, then odds are you're not going to have the follow-through to really make it happen. So that's why I try to focus on doing things, only the things that I really am intrigued by, that I'll have fun doing, that make me feel creative. And often those are not the largest revenue-generating things, but they offer me a quality of life which is worth more to me than the money.
You know, you mentioned something very, very, very briefly about focus and how, you know, focus and passion, they kind of go hand in hand. Well, a lot of people listening to this actual interview right now, some people are extremely successful, and some people are just getting started. For you, how important would you say, you know, for any marketer at any level and any entrepreneur, how important would you say focus and passion are in going after the dream of building a successful business?
Well, the passion is the more important one, right? I think a passion can drive your enthusiasm can make so much more happen than anything else you throw at it, because you're determined, you know, this is like what you really care about. You know, as far as focus goes, you're talking to the guy who's always multitasking on a half a dozen different projects, and I'm not the king of focus. I manage to get things done anyhow because I've learned the trick of working smart and not hard. I've learned the secret to leveraging what I have, whether those are my own personal assets and resources, experience, or relationships, to make stuff happen a lot faster than if I was just trying to push that boulder up the hill myself. I'm not a big fan of that. I'd much rather work smart and figure out what is the 10% of what I do that will deliver 90% of the results. And I try to focus on those things rather than the 90% that a lot of times can feel like you're just spinning your wheels.
Man, that's a great point, man. That is a really, really great point. And I'm really happy that you brought that up, because, I mean, it kind of goes along with the Alexander Graham bell curve, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep, it does. It took me time to learn that. You know, I think when we're younger, we feel like busyness somehow equals productivity, and it does not. I am really, really opposed to the people out there teaching grind and hustle. I don't think that that's the answer. I don't think we need more grind and hustle. I think we need more passion and wisdom. I think that's going to take it a lot further than just hitting the pavement and busting it. And, you know, these guys, and I'm not going to name them, you know who they are. They're nice people, and they're successful in their own right. But, you know, it creates a generation of people that are like, yeah, I got up at 5 in the morning and I hit it hard and I went to bed at midnight and I'm working this because I want it. And yeah, but I got up at 4:30 in the morning and I'm fucking, you know, yo, I'm making me tired. It's exhausting. Life is short, and there's a lot to be said for the quality of your life. You know, what do you really want to do? What is fun for you? And I'm not saying we shouldn't work hard. There's definitely a place for hard work. I'm just saying this idea that, you know, we got to make tons of money because we got to have the bigger house and the boat and you know, all these material things ultimately, those things don't really satisfy the majority of the people who get them. And so I think that teaching, you know, that money and pursuing it with everything you've got, I think it's a dangerous thing, and it strips people from what's really important, and that is the people in your life, you know, your family, your friends, your customers, and having a quality of life that allows you the freedom that being an entrepreneur is supposed to mean, right? Because a lot of times being an entrepreneur means you never leave the office or the retail shop, and that's just having another job. I don't want that. You know, and I did that, Michael, for years. I had an office, and I had employees, and I went to work every day, and I liked what I did. But there was definitely some costs to that, financial and personal. Today, I have zero employees. Count them, zero. I have some contractors. I work at home by myself. I do what I want to do, when I want to do it, how I want to do it. I don't worry about the big payroll. And also, after having had the big house, 6,000 square foot home with the built-in movie theater and everything you could want, I've been there, done that. I live small now. The less I have, the happier I am. I want to be able to pick up and go on a turn of a dime if I want to and go somewhere, and you know, whether it's vacation or visit a friend or family member. And I want my day to unfold in a way that is consistent with me and my lifestyle. So that means I crawl out of bed when I wake up. If I have appointments that I decide whether or not I'm going to make, I make those appointments. I say no to a lot of things that are demands on my time, my resources, if I don't want to do them or if I don't feel like there's a good fit. And it gives me a lot more free time than you would imagine.
That sounds amazing, man. You know, you spoke about having tons of employees and the grind hard, those guys that push, you know, and we actually talked in person at JV Zoo's Market Mayhem event, and you told me that you actually took a sabbatical. Can you tell us a little bit more about the reasons why and behind that? Sabbatical?
Well, in 2010, things were taking a bad turn economically. You know, our economy was taking a turn, and I had made some bad hires, so my business wasn't what it was. In my personal life, things weren't good with my wife at the time, and my payroll was ridiculous, and I thought, I need to pull away. And so from late 2010 through probably the end of 2011, I slowly let go of my entire team. I had up to 38 people at my peak, and some went and found other jobs on their own. Others, I said, I'm done doing this, and I kept my finance person as a contractor and some other outsourcers for stuff. But I sold off a couple of my businesses, cashed in on them. I stopped saying yes to speaking engagements. I stopped writing books. And I was on social media, but I really just kind of work-wise went under the radar. And it was almost a two-year period of not doing the work I had been doing. It was a very refreshing time, and towards the end of it, I used that time to work on myself. Physically, I lost a bunch of weight. Emotionally, I lost a lot of baggage. Spiritually, I find myself connecting with God in a way that I hadn't in a long time. Mm-hmm. And it was a really healthy, productive growth period for me, and I learned things that I wish I had known before. And it's kind of what's brought me to this almost Zen-like, you know, approach now, because when people who knew me before see me now for the first time, they're like, you kind of feel different. Like, you get a different vibe going on. You're more chill. You seem more comfortable in your own skin. And I'm like, yeah, that's the evidence of it, is the things that I thought were important are not the things that are important. And during the sabbatical, semi-sabbatical, I call it, because I did work a little bit, I was getting bored, but I wasn't ready to get back to work as I knew it yet. So I thought, I'm going to shake up my paradigm a little bit, and I'm going to do something unheard of. I'm going to get a job. And so I thought long and hard about what a job would look like for me, because it wasn't for the money. I just wanted to find somewhere that I can work a shift a week that would kind of help me be in touch with the customer again and just, you know, see life a little differently. And so I ended up getting a job at Barnes & Noble, you know, as a New York Times bestselling author and 12 books under my belt, and knowing they had books of mine there on the shelf, I went to the manager, and we kind of skipped by the whole application process they usually go through. And once I explained to him what I was doing there, he said, "You're hired." And I said, "Pay me minimum wage and put me at the cash register. I want to talk to people. I want to see this side of the business." And it was, I probably did it 4 or 5 months. It was an incredibly enlightening experience. It really, you know, here I am, the author, and I'm just behind the counter serving people, talking to them about the books they're buying and engaging and interacting with their children and just, you know, just being that guy. It was a great experience, and I continue to seek out interesting experiences that will help broaden my perspective of, you know, how I view others and myself. And another thing I did is I enjoyed the Uber experience so much, I decided to go drive for a week. So I went through the whole process and mounted a GoPro in the front of the car. And for a week, I drove people around and I videoed the whole thing. And there's actually a video on YouTube that's on my blog as well. If you just Google Uber Joel Tom, you'll see my short 6-minute film all about the Uber experience. Actually, I don't even think it's that long. It's a really short film that we were able to put together that kind of really encapsulates what happened that week. And it's a lot of fun. And for me, Michael, that is the most important driving element in whatever I do. Am I having fun doing this? And I'll tell you, it's like the anti-hustle grind, right, where you're supposed to be miserable because you're working so hard. I think that if you're having fun doing what you're doing, it's going to be contagious. Others watching you are going to be like, I don't know what that person's got, but I want what they have. It look like they're having so much fun doing what they're doing. And that's working for me, and that's what I want people to know is, like, if you're not having fun doing what you're doing, then maybe you should take a good hard look at what you're doing.
Man, you made some powerful points there. And, you know, I want to kind of circle back to figure out what were some of the things, you know, during that sabbatical, you know, some of those enlightening points. What were, you know, some of the things that, you know, that you can share with us about your enlightenment?
Well, you know, first of all, I think is, you know, taking everything seriously, especially when it came to work, was really, you know, draining life out of me. It just... Now, you want what you're doing in all aspects, whether it's your work or the people you hang out with and the places you go and the things you do. You want it to be life-giving, right? You want your experiences to be fulfilling and create positive, optimistic experiences for you. And so I was doing a lot of the things that you think you're supposed to do, that you're told this is what you do. And it turns out that a lot of those rules aren't really rules. They're kind of dictates that, you know, came from parents or teachers or society or from our, you know, our own warped way of looking at things. And so during that sabbatical, I, like I said, took care of myself physically, and I lost a lot of weight, which helped, and got off blood pressure medication, which helped. And I dealt with my own crap. Most of us don't like to deal with our own crap. And the fact is, we are all just human beings, and we are flawed, and we are imperfect, and we make mistakes, and so many of us are impatient with ourselves and unforgiving towards ourselves because of the wrong beliefs that have been placed inside of us. And so I was finally given the opportunity and the space to open up about my own crap and, you know, confide in a counselor and with close friends and just be real transparent and authentic and deal with that stuff. Very healing. Very liberating, and it found me in a place where I was just way more comfortable being who I am, warts and all. It's just there's nothing better than just not having to worry about who you're going to be when you're with a certain person or a certain group. You know, when people see me speak, or they see me on you know, a podcast, and then they meet me in person, I hear again and again, "You're the same." I'm like, "Well, yeah, because I'm just being me. Who else am I going to be?" It's right. Way harder to try to pretend to be somebody I'm not and try to keep up with, okay, now for this group of people, I performed this way, and for this group, I, you know, behaved more like this person. No, I just show up as me, as authentically as I can, and it's not perfect, but it's the best I can do. And being you really shouldn't take effort. It's just you just being you. And so for me, it's the greatest compliment when people, you know, see me speak after they've heard me, you know, on a podcast or see me on a video or read my writing, and like, yeah, that's just Joel. There's, you know, there's no fluff here. It's just, this is who the guy is. And I think the more we can show up as our authentic selves, the more comfortable we're going to be with ourselves, and the people around us are going to be more comfortable. And I think we're going to be more successful, because in being ourselves, it allows our own passions to serve us. You know, and our skills and our talents and our abilities and our personality to shine. And we spend less effort wondering what people think of us, and more time just being. And that's ultimately what we are, Michael. We're human beings, not human doings. So,
right.
The sooner we learn to be and to accept that this is who we are and this is all we've got, I think the more impactful we're going to be in all areas of our life.
Man, that is powerful, man. And Joe, listen, I got a few more questions here as we begin to wrap up. But one question, you know, for our audience out there, you know, everybody's listening, everybody's, you know, really excited. I'm really excited. Like, I'm over here just like, I'm ready to go get to work after this. What are just two keys that you think are really important when it comes to becoming a successful entrepreneur? Two keys.
Well, first of all, you got to make sure, for me, that you're not in it for the money, right? That what you're in it for is to provide value to others. Because ultimately, we're not in the business of selling products or services. I know that's going to come in a real shocker, and you're probably going, what? No, none of us are in the business of selling products or services. We are in the business of serving other people. And the vehicle that we use to serve those people is through our products and our services. And it's the value we bring to those through what we do. But ultimately, without people to buy what we use, what we offer, we don't have a business. You don't have a customer base that wants what you have. You've got nothing. So, you know, tapping into the value that you have and understanding that when you seek to bring value first, that's where people connect with you, and that's where a business is built out of. Not about your gadget or what they get for being at your place for an hour. It's not at all. It's about people and how you deliver value to them.
Absolutely. And so as we wrap up, where can our listeners actually find more information about you and check out some of the amazing things you have to offer?
Well, I'm really fortunate. I'm the only Joel Comm in the world, to my knowledge, so I'm the easiest guy to find, and my last name is spelled C-O-M-M, so if you Google Joel Comm, you'll find my Wikipedia page, my blog, my Amazon author page, sites, my Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, Snapchat, everywhere, so feel free to connect with me on any of those platforms, and that would be great.
Excellent. And Joel, just before we wrap up, the final last question, what final words of wisdom or tips or advice can you leave with our audience today?
Just be yourself. Go out there, you know, do good stuff and seek to do good in everything you do, and trust the process.
Excellent. Well, listen, Joel, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it, my brother, and I'm sure that our audience does as well. And yeah, we're gonna wrap this call up.
Sounds great. Thanks so much.
Excellent. Thanks a lot for listening, everybody. Make sure you check out Joel, and we will see you again very soon. Take care. Bye-bye. Awesome. Hey, well, listen, hey, Joel, man, thank you so much, bro. I really, really appreciate your time, and I really appreciate you taking the time out to do this interview with me, man. It really, really means a lot.
Absolutely.
You have no idea.
It's my pleasure. Feel free to shoot me a link when you go live, and I'll tweet it out for you.
Okay, I will do, man. Thank you so much, Joel. Have a great rest of the day, brother.
Take care, Mike. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.